Welcome to the Groovy Uncle Podcast with me, Glenn Prangnell. The Groovy Uncle Podcast takes a look at the creative output of a prolific bunch of musicians and artists based in the Medway towns. Each week, I'll be catching up with some friends, old and new, to talk about what projects they've been involved in over the years and what they're doing now.
You're listening to the Groovy Uncle Podcast.
So let's dive into the soup of groovy uncleness. My guest this week is a bass player, keyboardist, singer, songwriter and all-round good egg. His impressive band CV includes names such as the Daggermen, the Craven A's, the Buff Medways, Sergeant's Mess, the Storm Kings, Good Child and Graham Day and the Jailers. He's contributed to some Groovy Uncle tracks too, and even wrote a couple of songs for the album Meanwhile Back in Medieval Britain. He's currently occupied with the excellent instrumental outfit, the Senior Service. Johnny Barker, welcome.
Morning, Glenathy.
How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Okay. How have you been coping in these crazy times? Have you been all right?
Up and down, you know, like everybody else, I presume. But I've kept busy, carried on doing what as much as I could, really.
Yeah. And you've been busy making music and videos.
Yes, done all the Kev's thing and quite a lot of that.
Have you got a new one coming up for the next one?
So, yes, I've done two songs. I like doing the recording, it's the videos. I saw Kev the other night, he said about doing it live again. But they were a welcome relief, weren't they? When that was really lockdown nightmare.
Yeah, but I think the videos are good because you never quite know what you're going to get. Do you know what I mean? At the live thing, it's great because it's live and you're all there.
But it all started off live as well, didn't it, really? Yeah. Everyone was doing live, and Alan changed the game with all his flashy videos. Mm. And then everyone jumped on board with that.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's a good thing to do. So we did that, and then I've been recording with Billy as well.
Oh, yeah.
Been with Billy doing his Bob Dylan stuff. Typical Billy, it was relentless. So, I played a bit of organ, piano, and a bit of bass, and... It was quite enjoyable. And it was just going, you know, no rehearsing, go in, he's got this song in the style of Bob Dylan, and make it out as we go along. And that went on for a few months, actually. I was always getting a call from him.
I've heard you're doing a new Senior Service album, is that right?
We've done that, yeah. It was actually one of the gigs at the Rochester Social Club, and we heard Rachel sing. And I said to Graham and Daryl, she's got a good voice. We should ask her if she wants to do a bit of singing with us. And so after she finished, that's exactly what we did. And she was well up for it. And so we wrote some songs for her, with her in mind. And then obviously we were going to record them, but then lockdown happened and we couldn't do it. So we put it back a little bit. But then I think we did it about 3 months ago. And they're really, really pleased with it. And that should be coming out on Damaged Goods, I think, end of the month, 10-inch, 6-track vinyl.
Excellent.
It was really enjoyable. It went. It was very quick, so we just had, I think, three or four days, which included the mixing and mucking around with Jim's desk, because that's really on the way out. Keeps making loads of noises and you can't stop, and he hits it like the Fonz. Then it starts working again. But we recorded it very quickly, did all the overdubs and, you know, some lead breaks and stuff. And then she came in and she just did it really quickly.
And do you have an album title?
A Little More Time, I think. A Little More Time with the Senior Service. I think it's called that. It's Daryl's song. It's called A Little More Time. Yeah. So there's four songs and then two instrumentals, a couple of covers.
I mean, have you got a favourite track?
Well, I think Daryl's one, out of the vocal ones, is my favourite. It's very Carole King-like. Some nice piano on it, and she sings lovely. But she sings well on all of them. They're all good, really. But I was quite chuffed with the instrumentals as well. There's like an organ lead break in my, it's a John Schroeder one. And I was really worried about doing it all day. I kind of just did it first take and I was amazed. It's like, you just keep it. You can't do any better than that. Just leave it.
Yeah. Walk away.
We've had that before where you think, you know, save that one. Now I think I'll do better. Oh, God, here we go. And then you can't.
It's always the way.
Yeah, there's something about that first take, so it was good. I was quite chuffed myself with that.
It's funny when something is so good that everyone else can hear that you're not going to do it better, but the person playing it is always convinced they can do it better.
Oh yeah, and the thing is, it's the reaction with everyone else. So I turn round because you know the Hammond faces the wall, Jim, doesn't it? So they're all in the mixing room, and I just turn round and they all are really really happy and smiling, thumbs up. So yeah, I just got up, turned the organ off.
Good man. So over the years, you've played in loads of bands, the Dagger Men, Craven A's, Buff Medway, Sergeant's Mess, Senior Service, etc., etc. What are your favourite tracks, if you could choose any?
Well, something about the Dagger Men, that should, a little bit of an exclusive, that should be coming out, being re-released soon. It's all going through the motions now with Damaged Goods, so finally, after nearly 40 years, it might be re-released.
Great. People won't have to pay a fortune for it.
No. No, yeah, ridiculous money. Because I think we only pressed 500 at the time. But yeah, that's coming out on CD and vinyl again, hopefully. But, I mean, that was so long ago. It feels like a different lifetime ago. And that's when I first started playing bass. So obviously that stopped because of the quartet came around and Simon and Dave went off into the quartet. And that's when I met your good self, you and Bruce and Gormley did the Craven A thing, didn't we? Very fond memories of that.
I remember that recording session at Toe Rag when we did the EP. When they had a dressing up box.
Best recording ever, wasn't it? All running around with wigs on. But I remember how much fun we were having, though. We were like little kids, weren't we, in a sweet shop.
Yeah. It was a funny setup because there was no kind of glass seeing when you were doing vocals, was there? You couldn't see out into the playback room, could you?
Yeah, you didn't have a clue what was going on outside. But yeah, the dressing up thing was very funny. And we'd do the recording, wouldn't we, in weeks. Great fun. In fact, you know, one of the songs I can remember, which is that EP we did, was great stuff, I thought. And your couple of ones, Born Yesterday, I think. Born Yesterday and something else. And then we did, you know, everything about it was good, wasn't it? When we did the photo shoot in the phone box. But I've told you that story when I was playing with the Buffs in Seattle.
Yeah.
And then that chap who claimed that he knew Kurt Cobain came up to me. He said, "Hey, you were in the Craven A's." He said, "Do you know that was Kurt Cobain's favourite record?"
It drove him to suicide, that lot.
Yeah. And apparently he ripped off the Dagger Men's, one of the Dagger Men's songs as well. So, yeah, look back and laugh. I remember that one being really good. And I remember my first ever song that I wrote on that. "Baby, what's your game?" Yeah, don't play that one, though. I remember Billy saying, "Oh, that's really good, that song's really good. It's a bit wet."
Just come. We just done.
laugh at what we just done.
High Times Nice, and then Holly did a version of that, didn't she, with us?
Yeah.
We recorded it for her at that tow rate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that was her first time she ever sung anything.
I think it was, because I know she kept on at Bruce about saying, I want to sing that song.
I think that's the first time she ever sung anything, when she did that High Time, which we played as her backing band.
Live without. But when you stumbled in last night and started to tease, I said it's high time you started moving out. I wish someone would tell me just what I ought to do, 'cause I don't know if I could face a life without you.
So what about other bands' standout tracks?
Sergeant Smash was good fun. That was that's before I started playing in the Buff Medways. Playing in bands for me is all about, you know, it's like a bit of a with your muckers, isn't it? Like we were, like, you know, because we did all that party stuff with Johnny the Bandits, which was brilliant. It's just such a good laugh. And when that kind of stopped, so I was hanging around with Daryl a lot then, and Chris Hearsey, and obviously Simon. That's when we decided to do Sergeant Smash. As a follow-on, really, to the Bandits, so we do. But we did our own stuff, and we did a few gigs. We did an EP, and we got Billy to do that. That's great. And we did some stuff down at Mole's place. And the one that stands out for me is Chrissy's song "Back in the Bag."
Back in the bag, bro. You're back in the bag. You're
Yeah, and then the bus happened, and I did a lot of recording and a lot of touring.
What was the first Billy Childish band you played in?
Well, I did play in the Headcoats, a gig, at the, I think it was the Town Hall. And then I don't know what happened. I played one gig and then didn't. And that was it. And then Alan played for a little while. Going back to how the Buff Medway started was because of Billy started hanging around with us when we did the Sergeant's Mess thing. And even when the Bandits, he started coming around with us a bit, didn't he? So kind of got friendly with him again. And so that was it. He wanted to do this band and then go off and, like, you know, it was a little bit more flowery to what he was used to, the Headcoats. The Buff Medway is a little bit more Hendrixy. So that was quite full on for a little while. And then when the Buff started, we had the boys, twins. And then we had the Tour of America booked. So that was a little bit awkward. They were only about 2 months old. And we flew out about a week after the Twin Tower attack. In fact, when we went to New York, it was still smoking. So we played 10 gigs, I think, all over the States, which was great. But then after a while, it got to a point where he wanted to go to Australia and do things like that in Japan. And I just couldn't do it because of the family and because of work. And I remember we were driving up to play at Reading Festival because we'd done some nice gigs. We played at Glastonbury as well, but we were going up to the Reading Festival and I didn't want to do it. And I remember sitting in the back of the van thinking, I'd rather be at Leeds Castle with the boys, with the wife and kids.
What's happening to me?
Yeah, I did. You know, that's how I thought. So I just said to Billy, I said, I don't want to do this. And he started talking about going to Australia, and I said, well, I better say something. So that's what I did. I said, I'm not going to Australia. I'm going to Leeds Castle. He understood why. And then Graham took over from me playing bass, and I think he played with them for a couple more years, and they made a couple more albums, and that was that.
Started school in 1965. Started school in 1965. My stupid tricks left school in 1976.
And then I didn't really do much. But then Graham asked me to play in the Jailers. So this was about 3 or 4 years later. So the boys were a little bit older and they all started again. So recorded with him and then we'd go off on tour. So we'd tour around Europe. Lost Without My Dignity. Graham thinks it's a ballad. That's one that stands out for me. Originally, I thought I'm going to go back to being in a covers band and pretend I'm Georgie Fame. So that was the original idea. And then I asked Graham to play and Daryl and Simon again. And by that time, I'd had in my house where we were, as you know, I'd kind of bought a load of like home recording stuff and bought some mics and bought a drum kit. And I thought it'd be a good idea to just try and record something down in the basement. with all the new gear. So it was all new and fresh, and I was learning as we were going to try and mic up kits and stuff. So the first album is recording down there. Well, the second one is as well. But the first one is down there, and it's all, you know, I can hear it's not quite right, but it's still good enough, I thought. It quickly became apparent that we didn't want to do Georgie Fame covers. We didn't want to do that. We'll just write our own stuff, not have a singer, and do some instrumentals. So that's how that came about. And then, so that was the first album. The second one I thought was even better. But as you know, it's really hard work doing it all at home. That was all I was doing. It's all consuming all the time. I didn't resent it, but it's just all I did. And it's all I thought about. So every single, you know, work got in the way. I'd come home and go down there straight away. You know, when they weren't there, we'd recorded it, but then you've got to get the sound and you've got to mix it and you've got to add little bits. It was good because it was so relaxed. So we'd do something, and then before the pub on a Friday night, they'd come round and we'd do a bit of percussion or whatever, or fiddle around a bit guitar, or before we go to the pub, which I still is one of my favourite things. Me and Daryl did that for a long time with the Barker and Hartley stuff, just recording at home and making all these little songs and then going down the pub at 10:30. It's quite limited, isn't it, playing in an instrumental band? So that's why we decided to do a little bit of, not that it hasn't been done before, obviously.
Do you think it takes more thought working out and writing instrumentals than it does lyrics? On one hand, it's easier because you haven't got to faff about thinking of lyrics. But on the other hand, like you say, you're limited.
I think it's much harder to come up with a good instrumental. I mean, there's a difference with an instrumental than a groove. You know, a lot of those are old Hammond instrumentals. They're kind of a groove going, aren't they? And they kind of busk around with each other. But that's not what we were. We wanted almost, you know, like that kind of John Barry feel, cinematic kind of feel to the instrumentals.
And it's strange because sometimes you can come up with a tune in your head and you think, oh, that'll be great. And when you work it out as an instrument, you think, oh, need some words.
You've got to have a good hook, haven't you? You've got to have a good hook. Same, you've got to have a good hook with vocals. But I remember walking the dog and something would come into me and I'd just go, in my phone, I had loads of these, like,
I've got loads of those on my phone.
yeah. So little instruments going around. And then I'd work on that. But it's good because me, Daryl, and Graham were both coming up with stuff, you know. Yeah. And not outdoing each other, obviously, but it was you know, you've done one, I'm going to do one. Oh, and then Daryl said, well, I've got to do one now. And it was like that. So we'd all have about the same amount of tracks to record.
Thank you. Let's go back to your childhood, 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 childhood.
So what's your earliest childhood musical memory?
Gary Glitter.
Kel Surprise.
My dad walked me into one of the record shops in Chatham. I think it was the one in Rochester High Street, actually. I can't remember the name of it. And I think it was playing in there. And it was the I Love You Love Me Love.
That was the first single my younger brother ever bought.
I started singing it in the shop, and my dad looked around and said, do you want it? So, oh, yes, I do. So that was my first 45. The first record I bought, One Step Beyond by Madness. My first memory, I must have only about two or three, and it was being played on the radio, Baby Love by the Supremes. Obviously, that came out in about 63 or 64, so it was obviously on the radio. But that would have been my earliest memory. And I remember asking my mum, why are they singing about babies? And I remember my mum saying, it's the American word for a girlfriend, Jonathan. Well, I think this must have been about 1972. So I was only about 4 years old. I remember seeing the Sex Pistols as well on the telly and being scared, being a little bit frightened by them. It was really exciting, but it was a bit scary. Yeah, I remember it. And so it was about 76 or 77. And thinking how scary it was. And then I think Paper Lace came on. Thought, oh, that's better.
Some normality has resumed. Yeah. Everything's okay in the world. Paper Lace are on the wireless.
Billy, don't be a hero.
I saw them at Chatham Central Hall. They were the first band I ever saw. This or that? Bass or keyboard?
Keyboard now.
Ah.
More at home on bass.
You can say both. Do you want to say both?
More at home on bass, prefer keyboards.
That's a good answer. Georgie Fame or Georgie Best?
Georgie Fame.
Fawlty Towers or Blackadder?
Fawlty Towers.
Doctor or dentist?
Well, I've never had a filling. Doctor.
Roasted or mashed?
Roasted.
Rambo or rainbow?
Rainbow.
Caffeinated or decaf?
Very caffeinated.
Whiskey or fighting?
Hand in hand. Whiskey. Then fighting.
Dick Dale or Dick Emery?
Dick Emery.
Bath or shower?
Oh, shower. I've not had a bath for about 15 years.
Dean Martin or Jerry Lewis?
Jerry Lewis.
Well done. Correct answers. Okay, have you anything you want to talk about? Publicise websites, upcoming gigs, etc.?
Well, there is a... there is a little bit of an exclusive. I got a call from Dean Hammond the other day, and he's been playing with all these youngsters at gyms, and they've booked her over there recording, but they don't turn up. He asked me if I wanted to get a band together and go in the studio with him and Jim, because he's written all these songs. So yeah, I've asked Graham to play guitar and Simon obviously to play drums. He hasn't got anything. Graham asked if he's got any demos that we could work it all out, but he hasn't got any. They're all in his head. So we'll go in there and do it off the cuff, as it were. That's coming up soon, very soon, a couple of weeks' time, I think. I don't know how many tracks he's going to do. So, yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah, and as I said, we've got the Daggermen thing coming up as well. Obviously won't be playing. And that's about it, really.
Okay. Well, that just leaves me to say, Johnny Barker, thank you very much.
Thank you, Glenn. Nice to see you.
And you. Cheers, mate. It's what you do. Thank you for listening to my podcast once again. I hope you enjoyed it. Why not tune in again next time when I'll be joined by another fascinating guest who will give us an insight into their creative life.